This morning, just want to encourage you from God's Word that Jesus has you safe in His hands. Amen? It is always good to be reminded that we are secure in our Savior. Here in verse 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself." That's our title. He cannot deny Himself. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the privilege of assembling here this morning around Your precious and preserved Word. Lord, we ask that You would now use it in each of our hearts to accomplish Your perfect will. We believe in its power. Lord, may we be open to the Holy Spirit. Lord, may You guide us in Your truth. May You be glorified in this service. And we love You and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beautiful promises here in this passage. And we'll get to that last one, which is amazing. But verse 11, God says, if you're dead, you will live. Amen. If you are dead with Him, you will live with Him. You cannot receive eternal life unless you're willing to get saved. And when you get saved, you are crucified with Christ. Amen. The old man is taken away. Paul said, Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." If you're saved, you're dead. If you're unsaved, you're dead. But they're different deads. If you're unsaved, your spirit is dead and you're on your way to hell. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. If you're a born-again Christian, the old man is dead. The new man has been given eternal life, and you will spend forever with Jesus. And so you must die to live. You must die to self. Look at Colossians 3:3. We'll see this. And God is making this beautiful promise to us as His children that if we will allow Him to come in and make us a new creature, which He does at salvation, my friend, we will live with Him forever. That's a long time compared to this short time on earth. Colossians 3:3, "For ye are dead." There it is. "And your life is hid with Christ in God." Talking to Christians who should be focused on heaven, and He says, "You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God." If you are a born-again Christian, you are dead to the old man. You now have eternal life. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We all know this passage quite well. One of the rapture passages. But right toward the end of it, he makes us this beautiful promise in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so," here it is, "shall we ever be with the Lord." Hallelujah. When God says eternal life, He means it. Amen. "He that believeth on Me hath everlasting life," He said in John 6:47. If you are a born again Christian, the old man is dead and you will live with Him forever. "So shall we ever be with the Lord." Hallelujah. That's the first beautiful promise in this passage. The second one is in verse 12 of 2 Timothy 2. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him." Now, many times in the Scriptures, God connects suffering with rewards or blessings. When we look at suffering, we typically look at it negatively. Let's be real. It's always why, it's always woe is me. Maybe not audibly, but subconsciously. It's often, I don't understand why God is doing this and so forth. We need to learn to see suffering from God's perspective. First of all, that he allows it and he has a purpose in it. But second of all, God actually promises all through the scriptures that if we suffer, he will reward us in the end. Let's look at some verses on this. Romans 8, 17, we'll start there. And I just want you to be encouraged this morning that when you do suffer, rejoice. Don't complain like Israel did, like we've been studying in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. No, stop and rejoice. I mentioned it in Sunday school, but I'll mention it now. We're going to start a new series here in about 6 weeks on practical Christian living, but it's going to be flow charts. So it's going to be what to do if you suffer. And it'll be like biblical choice, non-biblical choice. What to do if you're tempted, biblical choice, or it could be multiple choices. We're going to walk through flowcharts for each of these things. What to do when you're discouraged, what to do when you're anxious, those sorts of things. It's going to be fun. Anyway, what to do when you suffer? Don't complain. That's a non-biblical choice. Don't murmur. That's a non-biblical choice. No, rejoice. Because God has said, you're special. I'm going to allow this in your life. And I'm going to reward you for it. Romans 8, 17, look what he says. Oops, I'm in John. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I hope we would all reckon the same thing. That even though they may seem heavy and they may seem hard, when we get to heaven, we're going to look back and say, that was nothing. Because I'm in heaven now. I'm with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for allowing that in my life. Thank you for how you used it to grow me and to refine me and make me more like you. Not worthy to be compared, he says, with the glory. Let's look at another one in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. I love this passage because God uses the word strange twice. And let's be real. When we have suffering, that's usually our initial reaction is, this is strange. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But instead what? Rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You see that word partakers? You actually, God's saying he is giving you the privilege of having a slight taste of what he went through for us. And that is something that we should rejoice about. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me just to have a small taste of what you went through for me. Rejoice that you're partakers. And what will happen in the end? His glory will be revealed and you'll be glad with exceeding joy. There it is again. And then another one, James chapter 1, verse 12. If you're a born again Christian, you've been saved more than 10 minutes, you have faced some temptations. Look what it says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So God's pronouncing a blessing, now not on those who obviously succumb to the temptation. That's the non-biblical choice. The biblical choice is to endure it. Amen? To endure it. And when you do, what does he promise? A crown of life? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? These are just some examples where God says that if we suffer, we will be blessed and rewarded for it. If we suffer, we shall reign with him, he says here in 2 Timothy 2:12. Jesus in Matthew 5:11, if you want to turn there quickly, says that when you suffer for doing the right thing, when you suffer primarily for preaching the gospel to the lost, look what he says here in Matthew 5:11. He doesn't only tell us to rejoice, but look what he says. Blessed are ye, Matthew 5:11, when men shall revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, or for my sake, rejoice and what? Be exceeding glad. That's pretty glad, isn't it? Exceeding glad. Be exceeding glad. For great is your what? Reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. There's another passage where he talks about when we're persecuted for witnessing for him, and he says, leap for joy. Some of us are a bit old for that, but the Bible says, great is your reward. Amen? And so all through here we see God rewards suffering. Of course, our response needs to be biblical. If we complain and murmur, well, there went the reward. But if we say, Lord, I know you have a purpose in this, I'm going to endure it, and I'm going to learn from it, and thank you, and I'm going to rejoice in it, God says he'll reward us. So two beautiful promises. If we're dead with him, we'll live with him. If we suffer, we'll reign with him. Back to our passage, verse 12. Another promise. This one not so exciting. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Look at Mark 8:38. Jesus does not like it when we deny him. And of course, he recorded for us the life of Peter when he did that very thing, didn't he? And Jesus even told him in advance he would do it, and he still did it. Denied Jesus the three times. But he's a merciful Savior. Amen. And after Peter wept and was broken over it, Jesus, after he was resurrected, said to the ladies who went to report to the disciples that they had seen Jesus, go tell the disciples and Peter. It's not over, Peter. I can still use you. Look at the first 12 book chapters of Acts. Look at how God used Peter. But anyway, Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Another promise. If we deny him, he's not promising blessings in this case, is he? He's promising that instead we face the chastisement, if you want to call that, but don't deny Jesus. And then the fourth promise, which is the amazing promise, verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. In other words, if we do get distracted or led astray by the devil to the point that we actually say, you know, I don't believe anymore. And if we're born again Christian, well, we already know that we can't go to hell because we're secure. So what's God saying? He can't deny himself. What does he mean by that? Well, if you're a born again Christian, you are in him and he is in you. You are part of the body of Christ. Amen. We know this from all through the scriptures. Look at that 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And the day that you became a Christian was the day that you become part of Christ. The Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 1:6. We are in Jesus, which means we're already in heaven in God's mind's eye. Because time means nothing to God, because we're in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We are part of Jesus. And so when it says he cannot deny himself, what he's saying is the devil gets us to that dark place, which I'm sure doesn't happen to every Christian, but it could to happen to a Christian, where he says, I don't believe anymore. Jesus says, I got this. I can't deny myself. And you are me. You're part of me. I'm not going to deny myself. We are now, as we know in Ephesians 4:30, sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen? Jesus said in John, let's look at it, John 6:37, that he will never, ever cast us out. Even if we say, I believe not, he abideth faithful. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And you know, we get to John chapter 10, and he says the same thing. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He goes on to say, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 10:28. We're safe and secure in the hands of Jesus. And then Jude 1, if you want to turn there quickly. Jude verse 1, and verse 24. Jude just wrote a one chapter book, but wow, there's a lot of doctrine in this book. But verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and what? Preserved in Jesus Christ. Look down in verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Do you realize when we stand before God, when it comes to sin, we are faultless? How is that possible? Because he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We will be presented faultless. And that's why we'll be allowed into heaven. He's able to keep us from falling. We are preserved in Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is, you can't lose your salvation. How many times have we heard the crowd say, you know, 90% of Christians today, oh, but, you know, you can deny Jesus, you can commit the unpardonable sin, you can sin so badly that God takes your salvation away. I say to them, that's impossible. He cannot deny himself. That we are preserved, that we are sealed until the day of redemption, that he gave us eternal life, not temporary life. Amen? That we are now the children of God. He doesn't rip us out of his family and then put us back in again and so forth. No, we are secure. What a beautiful truth. He cannot deny himself. And so he starts off with this beautiful salvation promise that if we have been crucified with him, that we will live with him forever. That if we suffer, and we will, it's just how much, that's up to God. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. But if we do suffer, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. But if we believe not, he cannot deny himself. Hallelujah. And that's because we are him. We are in him. We are part of him. Now, we don't understand this completely, do we? We're just feeble humans trying to put our head around how all that works. But it doesn't matter. If God says it, it's true. And one day we will have perfect knowledge. We'll be able to understand it better. But understand this, he cannot deny himself. And you are him, if you are a born-again Christian. That is a wonderful and beautiful truth. One that the devil hates, I guarantee. He doesn't like truth like this. Because how much, do you think about it? If the devil could convince a Christian to do whatever he has to do to lose his salvation, if he could do that, don't you think he could do it for all of us? Think about it. Or would it just be the weak ones? Well, who are the strong ones? You see, if the devil could talk us out of our salvation and take us and help us to rip ourselves out of Jesus' hands and so forth, then the ones who make it to heaven, guess what we would do? Ephesians 2:9, lest any man should boast. Well, the devil didn't talk me out of my salvation, but that poor guy talked him out of his, because I'm a better Christian than he is. You see how that would work? It doesn't work that way. We're all just sinners saved by grace. And we're going to heaven because of what Jesus did, not because of who we are, how strong we are, how amazing we are. No, we're sinners saved by grace. And we're going to heaven because of Jesus and Jesus alone and what he did for us. He cannot deny himself. Hallelujah. Remember that the next time the devil comes along. He says, you know, your Christian life is a mess. You're always having to deal with all this suffering. Why would God let you suffer so much if he loves you? He's good at these lies, isn't he? We read about him in Genesis 3. The next time, just say, Jesus can't deny himself. Leave me alone. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Amen. And always use scripture to do it. Jesus cannot deny himself. Hallelujah for that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful promise. These promises, Lord, that we will live with you forever. Lord, that you will reward us for our suffering. Lord, that you never want us to deny you. And Lord, that we cannot lose what we have in you, our salvation. Thank you for reminding us of this great truth this morning. And Lord, I pray that it would give us that grounding, that confidence to go out and tell others about you as we're commanded to do. Now, Lord, there might be someone in our service today, they're not sure if they have salvation. They believe in you, but they just don't know. I pray that today would be that day they would come to Christ. And Lord, they would be born again. They would understand the gospel, they would believe it, and they would trust you. Those of us that are Christians, Lord, again, may this give us that confidence, that grounding to go out and be what you want us to be. And Lord, that when the suffering comes, may we respond scripturally rather than in the flesh. Thanks for speaking to our